A few months ago, there was this comedian that got kicked off stage at Columbia University for telling a joke that was deemed racist and homophobic. And I know the story quite well because that comedian was me. This is how the joke goes. I used to live in Hell's Kitchen, which is a fairly diverse neighborhood in New York City. And every time I leave my apartment, there'd be a gay black man that'd tell me my socks didn't match my outfit or some other goofy shit. And I try to learn things from people all the time. This is a gay black man. I was like, what can I learn from Percy? That's what I named him. Not P-E-R-C-Y, but P-U-R-S-E-Y, because he always had a bag on him. And yeah. I was like, what can I learn from Percy? It's a gay black man. So one day I'm looking at him, and I get lost in his eyes for a little bit because he's a pretty guy. So what can I learn from Percy? It's a gay black man. One day it clicked. I was like, this is how you know that being gay cannot be a choice, because no one would choose to be gay if they're already black. Which is a fairly progressive statement if you let it marinate for more than 2 seconds. Right? It's fairly difficult to be gay in this country. It's fairly difficult to be black in this country. No black person ever wakes up and thinks, you know what, this black shit? Too easy. I'm going to put on a Madonna halter top, grab some Jordans in my Michael Kors bag, and tell an Indian dude how to live his life. That's not a choice anybody knows. I told that joke on stage at Columbia University in November of 2018. And they got kicked off stage. And the day later, I made the news. I'm gonna give you the inside scoop. This is what happened. What's your name?
Pooja.
Pooja, this is what happened. Don't blog about this or do any of that kind of shit. TMZ might hit you up. TMZ hit me up to talk about it. And I said no because they tried to end Kanye West's career. And after watching that R. Kelly doc, Kanye don't seem so bad. And, this is what happened. I'll give you an inside scoop. In May of 2018, I was invited by Columbia University Asian American Alliance to perform at the annual Culture Shock Festival. Now, this is Asian, like my kind of Asian, but also the kind you guys are picturing. And they're like, hey, Nimesh, we're big fans of your work. You were the first Indian to ever write on SNL. We want you to come do our show. And I was the first Indian ever write on SNL. Hopefully not the last, but I don't... Thank you, but I don't want to get it twisted. I'm not like the Jackie Robinson of Indian writers. You know, I didn't barge into Lorne Michaels' office like, hey, fuck Taco Tuesday, we're doing Tandoori Thursday from here. It was none of that. I just happened to be Indian when I got hired. I'm white now, it's pretty cool, but... They're like, hey, Nimesh, we want you to perform at our show. And I've done tons of these shows before. I used to go to them in high school all the time. You know, it's like 400 Asian kids of all complexions dancing, having a good time. And I go on stage as part of my set. 17 minutes into the set, I tell that joke, and it bombs. It's like dead silence. You can hear people shitting in the bathroom. That's how quiet. But sometimes, as a comedian, you do jokes for you. And I was like, let's see what this crowd's about. If this joke works, it works. If it doesn't, I'll just go back into this other shit. And it didn't work. I was like, all right, just roll with it. See what happens. 3 minutes later, the three young Asian women that invited me to do the show come on stage in one trench coat. And and they're like, hey, Nimesh, you've said some things that are offensive. We need you to go. And then they asked me if I have any closing remarks. All of me wanted to say, I hope you all fail your finals. But I didn't say that. I kept my composure. And I tried to save it with a joke. I would joke about how it's a very difficult time to be an Asian person these days because it feels like white people and black people, there's a lot of tension between them, and there's about to be a war between black people and white people, and Asians and Indians will have to choose a side. And that shit bombed. And then they cut my mic, and I leave the stage. And side stage is like a 5'5" Asian woman waiting for me. She goes, I have to escort you out because of security risks. I'm like, I'm not going to fight a bunch of breakdancers. And then I get in my car, And I immediately call my Jewish friend, Jared, he's a comedian. I said, hey, man, I just got kicked off stage at Columbia University. And he goes, did you get paid, though? I was like, thank you for reminding me what's important. And I called another friend of mine. I was like, Ricky, I called him. I was like, hey, man, I just got kicked off stage at Columbia. And he's always like, he sees the positive in the situation. But this time he's like, you got kicked off stage at Columbia? That's hilarious. I can't wait to tell everybody. You bombed so hard, you got kicked off stage. Oh, man, this is going to be a killer in the group chat. And for the record, I did not bomb. All right, I will own a bomb like no other. I don't give a shit about bombing. I bomb all the time. Bombing is a learning experience, and I always ask for my money up front for a reason. I'll tell you my greatest bomb, Pooja. Pooja, in 2016, July, Hillary Clinton had just secured the nomination for Democratic nominee for the President of the United States, and they had a big party for her in Philadelphia. And as an offshoot to that party, they had a Bernie Sanders protest rally. I got invited to do stand-up at that event. And I go there, and there's 400 Bernie Sanders fans dressed in all black like Bernie had just died. And my opening joke to this room full of 400 Bernie Sanders fans was, hello, losers. And sometimes comedy's for the comedian. And that was the funniest thing I could have said in that situation. And then I bombed for a good 10 minutes. You ever been stared at by 400 people with purple hair? It's hilarious. So that was my greatest. This is just a bunch of college kids who overreacted to what's going on in the world. And that all goes back to the shit that I've talked about throughout the set, right? It's, our brains are fucked up. We don't know how to process shit. We overthink and underthink everything. It's like everyone wants to call these kids soft. These kids are not soft. This generation of college kids is the generation that invented eating ass. Do you understand that? These kids are eating ass and no one has health insurance. That's the most gangster shit I've ever heard. But then, this Columbia incident was a microcosm of everything that's going on in America. Because after that happened, the very next day, I learned that fake news is a real thing. 2 days later, I was trending on Yahoo. 3 days later, I got an email from Tucker Carlson. Two emails from Tucker Carlson. Hey, Nimesh, come talk about this on the show. It's like, nah, Tuck, you too thirsty for this. I ain't coming on your goofy-ass show. You fucking propagandist. But I should have gone on the show because the second part of that being gay is not a choice joke is when I say, and I said this at Columbia, I said, that's not fully true because the only person who chooses whether or not to be gay on a daily basis is Mike Pence. Mike Pence chooses to not be gay every day. I'm getting a real Republican vibe in this room all of a sudden. Look, I know it's wrong to out someone that's not out. But Mike Pence hates homosexuals. That's how you know he's gay. No man hates homosexuals that much if he himself is not a homosexual. If I've learned anything in life, that's true. That's what I should have gone on Tucker and said that shit. And then I was featured on Breitbart. Me, a hero on Breitbart. That's how you find out who your Republican friends are. Hey man, I just saw you on Breitbart. You read Breitbart? I thought I knew you, Jared. What the fuck? But that didn't really bother me. That's the right wing has an agenda. But that goes back to the left wing shit I'm talking about. Because then I got called racist and homophobic. Nimesh Patel is a racist and a homophobe. It's like, how did you know? Nimesh Patel is a racist and a homophobe. They say, I'm afraid of gay people and I hate black people. When really, it's quite the opposite. crazy. Such a crazy time. My own people did that shit. Honestly, the toughest part about the whole thing has been trying to explain this to my 60-year-old Indian parents. Because they know what stand-up is. They know that I do it. But when they saw I got kicked off stage at Columbia, they thought my career was over. And I was like, no, Mom. It's just getting started. My dad works as a cashier at a liquor store, and one of his customers came in with a second page of the New York Post. I was on the second page of the New York Post. Front page, George Bush had just died. Second page, Nimesh Patel. And someone was like, hey, Sanjay, isn't this your son? My dad's like, I don't know that motherfucker. Honestly, the toughest part beyond that has been dealing with, because for 2 weeks I was famous. People were like, yo, you're the Columbia, you're the Columbia. I was triggered by Asians, I couldn't walk around. It's famous. And you get a taste of fame, like just a little bit. And if anyone's chasing fame in here, trust me, it is not what, it's the stupidest shit you could possibly do. Fame is the worst drug there is. And I can see why people chase it, but don't do it. But fame is such a drug that people will drop sex tapes if they can't get it any other way. That's like the sucking dick for crack equivalent of fame. People will drop a sex tape. And like, I mean, I might. If this comedy shit don't go the way I need it to. My sex tape will be me fucking a gay black man wearing a Columbia University sweatshirt. I'm Nimesh. Thank you so much for coming out. Enjoy the rest of the night.